Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
A doctor once said, if you believe in miracles, this would be one. He was talking about Alcides Moreno. You see, in December the 7th, 2007, he and his brother Edgar were 47 stories up in New York City on the side of a skyscraper washing windows, when suddenly the platform collapsed and both of them fell 47 floors to the pavement below. This wasn't a Hollywood movie where Spider-Man jumps off and saves them. It wasn't a cartoon where they catch their coat on a flagpole on the way down. They fell 47 stories to the pavement below. Edgar was killed immediately. His brother was taken to the hospital still alive. They had no hope for him, but he hovered for the next several weeks between death and life. Then on December the 25th, Christmas Day, he opened his eyes and reached up and touched his nurse's face. If you believe in miracles, this would be one. You see, Adam also fell from a great height. He fell from the grace and glory of God. He fell from a relationship with the one who he had walked in the garden with. He fell all the way down to the cursed ground. And when his platform collapsed, the whole of the human race fell with him. And they were all dead in their sins. And then, several thousand years later, on Christmas morning, a babe was born who opened his eyes, reached up, and touched the face of God. This baby, born in a cradle destined for a cross, came to save that whole human race that had fallen so far, so long ago. You know, the resurrection day was foretold in that little one's eyes as he opened up and touched his father's face. How many of you have seen the miracle of a newborn child? And quite often that miracle is expressed in various ways. And when you see the child and he's there behind a window or he's there in your arms, quite often that child will grab hold of your finger. The child knows somehow who the loving people in his life are and will be. If you believe in miracles, that would be one. Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you that the miraculous is an everyday occurrence. Didn't stop thousands of years ago because you're the same today, yesterday, and forever. We thank you and praise you for the gift of life that you sustain every day. Father, we could spend the rest of our time on this earth recounting the number of times when you have simply entered our life. Father, we thank you and praise you. Father, we ask that our whole attention be drawn to you today, and this wonderful gift that you have given might be ours. You have said that it is ours for the asking. All we have to do is turn to Jesus, and we will be saved. And so, Father, as people who are drowning in an ocean of wickedness, ocean of pain, we reach out to you today. Help us. And Father, I ask as always that you cast my words out. They are nothing. They are less than nothing. My mind cannot conceive, nor my mouth confess all of the glorious things that you are doing on an hourly, on a momentary basis. So, Father, cast them out and speak to us from your heart to ours. Whatever language we understand, may we truly come into your presence now. Holy Spirit, come and dwell this place and each of our lives so that we may hear the words of life and death today. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Would you open your Bibles with me to Luke? We're going to start in Luke 24, and I'm going to be reading verses 4 through 6. I will give you a little background. This is the resurrection day, and women have run to see what there was to see, and very few of us think about the fact that they ran not to experience an empty tomb. They went there to anoint the body of their loved one. Too many times we seem to think that, oh, well, they understood what was about to happen. They had no idea. They had no concept, because what they were about to experience had never happened before. And so they went, and it says, and it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, they had looked in and not seen their Lord, that two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee. He is risen. From the time of Adam until the second Adam, Jesus, death had one way in and no way out. People went into death, but they could not come back. When Jesus died on the cross, he went into death, but he cut a hole in it. The veil was split in two. He was able to come back. When Jesus came back, he was changed, and he changed the nature of death for all of us who believe on him. One day, should the Lord tarry, I will die. But I will not go into a prison, but into a passageway that leads to the presence of God. Because of that, I'll walk again. Death can't keep me in the ground. Because Jesus broke everything wide open, he changed the nature of things. He changed it for you and me and for those three women who were there at the gravesite. Jesus leads the way. He parts the river. He is risen. That means more than that he's alive. It means that death has been defeated for all of us who believe. Think about that for a moment. Death has been defeated. Where is its sting now? Where is your fear of the unknown now? Hamlet had a perplexing question. He said, to be or not to be, that is the question. For who knows what lies beyond the grave? We know. We know what lies beyond the grave. The message of resurrection is not simply that Jesus is alive. He's always been alive. Listen to John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus has always been alive, always been actively engaged in creating life and sustaining life. He is in your life today. He is in the life of Stephen Hawkins, who doesn't believe in Him. He's still in his life. There was, in the past few years, a London Times article right on the front page that said this was about a bad week for atheists. I think every week's a bad week for atheists. But they said it was a bad week for atheists because this Cambridge brilliant scholar, Stephen Hawking, had been in a debate with one of the archbishops, and the archbishop was being taken to task by Stephen Hawking. He said, most of the people who say they believe can't even tell you the first gospel in the Bible. And the bishop heard that. He didn't dispute it. He said, well, I bet you can tell me that. He said, oh, yes, I can. Now, you have to understand that Stephen Hawking can't speak as you and I might speak. He is completely tethered to a wheelchair that has a computer in front of it, and he has to, with his mouth, make the computer say the things he wants to say. And so there is a gap between his responses and the questions. But the archbishop said, you understand that the whole premise of evolution, don't you? It was a quiet, yes, I understand evolution. And you could probably tell me about the origin of the species that Darwin wrote, couldn't you? He said, yes, I could. He said, can you tell me what the second volume in that book is called? Stephen Hawking was stumped. He couldn't answer the question. He fumbled around him and said, oh my God. We struggle. God has a sense of humor. He makes even atheists reach out to Him. The message of the resurrection is that the whole person is going to be redeemed. Not just in part. Not just going to redeem your mind. He's going to redeem all of you. Every moment of your life. Everything you've ever done. Everything is going to be redeemed. It's not simply that Jesus is alive. He was alive. He was full of life. He had the power to lay His life down, but no man could take it from Him. But He also had the power to raise it up again. He had life, and no one could take it. So why was the tomb empty? Have you ever wondered about that? I've been inside the tomb. Trust me, it's empty. Why was the tomb empty? I mean, the two men, the angels, who were in shining garments, could have simply said to the women, well, He's here, but His soul is in heaven. I mean, they could have understood that. I mean, why would you take that bruised and beaten body that hardly looked like Him anymore, that had holes in His hands and His feet, hole in His side, why would you want that raised? I mean, Don't we say at Christian funerals, we know the body is here. We either planted it in the ground or we have it in an urn. We know that their body is here, but we believe that their soul is in the presence of Christ, for to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So why didn't the angels just simply say to the women, you can see his body is here, but you don't have to worry. He's already in heaven. He can hear your prayers. He can still answer them. He can still heal your hurts. He loves you. He's aware of you. He wants to be with you. And he wants you to be with him. Why didn't he just do that? Because there is something about the bodily resurrection that the Bible thinks is so important. He is risen doesn't simply mean that he is alive in the presence of God. He was alive in the presence of God before he ever came to earth. What does it mean? It means that Jesus is alive, but it also means that he is risen. He is the first fruits of those who believe in him, who will be raised from the dead. He's able to help you. He's able to touch you and know you. You see, the survival of the soul and not the body is what death is all about, isn't it? Death separates the soul from the body. But God wants to redeem you all of you, the whole totality of you. The survival of every part of you, not just your soul, but your body as well. The survival of the soul without the body would mean that we were only partially redeemed. We were partially raised, but not completely raised. Listen to verse 36 through 39 in the Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter. There is something that happens that's extraordinary, and the disciples can't really understand it. They don't understand what's happening. In 36 it says, now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said, peace to you. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen the Spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do you have doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. The Bible puts great emphasis on the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's redeemed, not just in part, but in whole, his whole existence. When the disciples saw Jesus, they thought they had seen a ghost. And they were frightened. But Jesus said, wait, I'm not a ghost. He invites them to touch him, to feel him, to look at the holes in his hands and his feet. He invites them to do that. Why? Why does he invite them? He invites them for a purpose. Jesus wants them to know that a ghost does not have flesh and bone, as you see, I have. Jesus' flesh had been raised, had been raised. He came through death and lived on, not just as a soul, but in his body as well. When Jesus returns and gathers up all of us who are his people, every believer will be gathered, not just in part, but in whole. If we could believe more intensely in the bodily resurrection of Jesus, we would more intensely have faith that we ourselves would be raised. Risen means that you'll be changed. When Jesus' body was raised up, his flesh was raised, but it was also adapted for the eternal life he was about to have in heaven. It was transformed. The butterfly comes from a little worm. He has nothing to do with that worm any longer. You can't see the worm in the butterfly. The worm had a vision. It could only see about an inch and a half in front of himself. As that caterpillar walked along, he was subject to every kind of danger there was. He was going to spend his whole life on that one tree, probably on that one branch. And birds could come and eat him. He could be thrown down. Anything could happen. But one day it weaves a cocoon, and for every purpose looks like he is dead, encoffined in a cocoon. And then one day it breaks out. And what breaks out has no resemblance whatsoever to that caterpillar. It is a new creature. It is a butterfly. Now it can see for thousands of miles, it seems. It can fly thousands of miles in its migration. It can go up, and no matter what happens to it, even if it is cast down by the winds and rains of time, even if it is thrown back into the dirt from which it came, it will never be a caterpillar again. It is transformed. God changes us. He adapts us for heaven. This had never happened before. I mean, if you look at all the people that Jesus awoke from the dead, the boy at Nain, the daughter of Jairus, the Lazarus, he awoke them, but their bodies were not adapted for eternity. They still needed to eat. They still aged. They still had all the infirmities we had, and one day they would all die again. Jesus is risen means that we will be risen as well. We will be raised. We will be a new creature in Christ Jesus. Our bodies will be adapted for heaven. My body tells me when there is an ozone alert or when there's a weather alert before I get the beep on my little phone. It tells me all about that. I suffer when there's a change like that in the weather because my body has suffered a little bit in this world, and I can tell. Last Tuesday morning, I was here, and as I was trying to do a little bit of stuff out there, I was moving stuff. It was early in the morning. It was not hot yet, but I was perspiring like crazy. It was only 80-something degrees, but I was absolutely solitary, wet all the way. I was on duty, and so I had worn clothing that would allow me to go directly from here to a call for someone who was dead or dying. I had to leave here and go and take a shower and put on new clothes before I could go anyplace. When I have a new body, I'll never suffer like that again, because that body will be fitted for eternity. And you know, I think of Christian loved ones who have already gone ahead. I know that they're in the presence of God. I know that they're currently possessing everything, every joy that they could imagine. I know that they're happy and they're aware of who they are and the circumstances around them. The Bible tells us in Revelation that they're underneath the throne of God crying, "How long, Lord? How long are you going to let these people suffer?" I know that that's the case. I know that's where they are. But the best is yet to come. God holds back part of that for each and every one of us. When He gathers us up with Him, we shall all be with Him, and we shall be alive with Him in the air. It doesn't matter if we were cremated or if we were buried in the ground or if we were long since dead and our bones have disintegrated or we were lost at sea. It doesn't make any difference. If you believe in miracles, if you believe that God can part the Red Sea, that He can walk on water, that He can have a virgin give birth to His son, if you can believe that, you can believe that God is able to do what He says He's going to do. He can transform us into the image of Christ. And even though flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven, evidently flesh and bone can, because Jesus said, "Look at me. Touch me. Feel me." He knows. You know, I was thinking of a story of this little old lady who was in a church, and she was on her deathbed, and so she called the pastor to her deathbed, and she said, "Look, when you preach, this is my favorite verse in the Bible. I've lived by John 3:16. I want you to preach on John 3:16. He said, "No problem. I'll be happy to." And she said, "And I love the old rugged cross, and I love the old hymns of the faith. I want those sung at my funeral." "No problem. We'll do that. And this is a dress I'd like to wear." He said, "I'll make sure that you're in that dress in the coffin." "I'd like the coffin to be open." "Okay, I'll agree to that." And she said, "And I'd like to have a fork in my hand." He said, "Well, why do you want a fork in your hand?" And she said, "Well, all the church functions I've ever eaten at, they gather up the thing after the main meal. They always say, 'Hold on to your fork, because dessert is coming.' And I want you to tell everybody who files by and looks at me in that coffin and they see that fork, I want you to tell them that the best is yet to come." Amen. There is more to this life than just flesh and blood. There is a spiritual component. We shall all experience the same transformation, and our bodies shall be adapted for eternal life. And we will be with Him, and we will be as He is, the Apostle Paul says. If you believe in miracles, this will be one. He loves you enough that He's going to do the miraculous in and through you. He's going to be present with you. You know, there are countless times when people are on their deathbed and they have a vision of what's going to happen. But they don't know. As the Apostle Paul says, they see in part. We only know in part. But then, we won't be looking through a glass darkly. We'll see face to face who our Redeemer is, and we will know how He loves us and cares for us. We will be new creatures in Christ Jesus. We will be able to do the things we only dream of doing now. We can get a little clue from the Bible that Jesus walked through walls. I suppose you'll be able to walk through walls too, if there's a wall you care to walk through. For me and my house, I hope that we all want to stay in the presence of the Lord, because we will walk back into the glory from which we once fell. We will be back in the glorious presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is, as Hamlet said, devoutly to be wished to be with Him throughout eternity. He loves each and every person enough that He will adapt each of us for that purpose. You know, I had trepidations about speaking this to some of you, because I know you've lost loved ones in the past year or two, and I know that we have planted them in the ground. But rest assured of this, that if they were a Christian, to be absent from that body was to be present with the Lord, but that body itself will be raised. And it will no longer have any of the infirmities it once had. Even if his legs were cut off, he'll walk again. Even if they have lost their sight, they'll see again. One day, the Lord will come back. Until then, let us look for His coming. Let us be actively engaged in His coming, and engaged about the work that He wants us to do.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.